Thank you so much, choir. This is, as we said, Stewardship Sunday, and we know that many of you wanted to do a pledge card today, and then you forgot it on your way to church this morning. You just realized, oh my goodness, today was the day. If you forgot that or you're not on the identified givers list and you would like a pledge card today, we have the ushers who are going to come down the aisles as we show this video. And if you would like to receive one, you'll be able to have that and you can think about it. Well, we know that Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So it's such an important thing that we talk about today, as much as I don't like talking about it. I always get nervous talking about money as a pastor. I always have, and I always will, I'm sure. And yet I know that we must talk about it, because it really is part of our worship, isn't it? It's what we do. It's part of our worship. So just as much as singing, just as much as serving, this is part of our worship. It's worship of the King of Kings. And so we have to talk about it once in a while, and so we choose to, once a year, talk about it. So I just want to say at the beginning, thank you for the stewardship of 2018, church. You have been amazing, and I want you to hear that. There's so many of you who are so faithful, do so much good, and I just want to praise you. I just want to praise God for you. It's amazing what this church is able to do, and I mean, you have the description of our financial house right now in your bulletin. You could see that we ended the year solid in the black, and I mean, well, we're headed for ending the year that way. It's been really good because of good stewardship on the part of a lot of people. But as we go on to perfection, we need to be reminded of these things at least once a year. So Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants, and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last. I'm sorry, I've got to get back here. My iPad is playing with me. There we go. Okay. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earned five more. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. And after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, and note the word "but." I mean, you would expect that the master might be pleased with that response, huh? But the word always says, but this is different. This is contrary to what you just heard. "But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it.' Then he ordered, 'Take the money from this servant, give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing,'" this is a tough word here, "'but from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Today we want to talk about real success. I don't know about you, but I just don't want to fail at anything. How about you? I mean, only a fool wants to fail, right? Who wouldn't want to fail at anything? I don't want to fail at marriage. I don't want to fail at business. I don't want to fail at education. I don't want to fail as a church, for sure. I just don't want to fail. I have a hatred for failure. I really do not want to fail. It's such a terrible thing to fail. Psalm 13:19, let's read it together. It is pleasant to see dreams come true, but fools refuse to turn from evil to attain them. Friends, do you know how much God is dreaming for you? Do you have any idea how much God wants to accomplish through this church? I mean, I do not want to limit that dream at all. I believe that God can do anything. But sometimes we've got to change our ways for that to happen through us. You know, I think of the Steelers last week. I always wanted to play like a Steeler, you know? And for the first three quarters, I decided maybe I can. I mean, it was bad, right? It was horrible. And it was hard to, at the end of three quarters, say, well done, good and faithful servants, wasn't it? Because we knew they had all this talent, amazing talent. I mean, they had beat really tough teams. And for three quarters, they kept it buried. And then in the fourth quarter, it's like they brought their talent out and pulled it off in the last seconds. And it was something they could have really done well the whole way through, but they didn't do it. And I don't think that anybody does anything without using their talents and using them well. I want dreams to come true. I want God's dreams to come true. And I know He's got big dreams for us. And so I want to be a participant, and I do not want to fail. But if you want some description on how to not succeed, just take a look at the servant with one talent. He can teach us an awful lot about how to fail because he did a lot of things wrong. The first thing that he did wrong was he just refused to use his imagination. Now, I want you to think about this story. Here's a story of a master who has all kind of resources, and you're going to see here in a little bit just how rich this master was. This master was exceedingly wealthy, and he gives five talents to the one servant, and he gives two talents to another servant and one talent to the third servant. And you think, well, you know, I wonder how much that is. It's a ton of money. I mean, in the New Living Translation, there's a little note with a B. And it says this is 75 pounds of silver is a talent. I'm going to describe here in a later point just how much money that is in today's money. But this guy's given all this, but he can't even think of a thing to do with it. I mean, we don't know what the five-talent guy and the two-talent guy do with it, but we know they must have used some imagination because they doubled it. I mean, that would be hard to do, wouldn't it? That's hard to do with any investment. This must have been one long trip to double it, right? How long does it take to double your money? But these guys use their imagination. They come up with a great plan, and they double the money. What does the one-talent guy do? Talk about no imagination. He does what any idiot does. He buried the money in the ground. What a hole in the mud, huh? I mean, goodness, can you imagine doing that with money? He digs a hole and puts it in the ground thinking that that's going to work out well. And, of course, that doesn't work out well. Can't. This is what Einstein said. Logic will get you from A to B, and imagination will take you everywhere. And there's so much truth to that. We have to use imagination when we're thinking about how to reach people for Christ. We can't just do it the same way we always did it. Churches that do that are yesterday's churches. But we always got to be thinking, okay, what's of value from the past? And use that and keep moving forward and using our imagination about how we as a church or how they are going to use their kingdom assignments to do something great for the kingdom of God. They've got to use imagination for these things. And we as a church need to do that all the time. This guy, he thinks he's doing a pretty good job, right? He buried it. And he thinks, I'm a good steward. But what did the master say? You wicked servant. You didn't trust me. You're living in fear. You didn't have any imagination. You know, I think of when I was a district superintendent and overseeing, you know, these churches. I talked a little bit about this last week. But I saw this so much, so alive in churches, the spirit of fear. This is what this guy was living with. He was afraid of the master. And he's like, oh, I knew you're a harsh master. And I just decided I just wouldn't take any chances. I was going to play it safe. I buried the money in the ground. Churches that play it safe remind me of churches like I was just talking about that I supervised down in Connellsville District. I'm telling you, I would go into churches, 20 people, and they have $300,000 sitting in the bank. I said, why don't you run some advertisements or do some outreach or do something with this money that God has blessed you with? They're like, we got to save that for a rainy day. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's pouring at your church. Got to use imagination. We got to be faithful with what God gives us. We cannot be storing it up. It is to be used by God. Whatever he gives to us at the food bank, the missions line items, the general budget, that's got to be used. It's got to be used for the glory of God. Ephesians 3:20, this is God's dream. Let's read it together. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. This is what God can do. And we're all so afraid. And we can't be afraid. We can never be afraid. I don't want to be like this church as I just talked about. I want to keep doing it the way Grace Church does it. We invest. We outreach. We do mission. We are always thinking, how can we use our resources to reach more people for Christ? That's what it's about. And when we get into it's about saving up money, we are making a terrible mistake. It's got to be used for the glory of God. The second thing is to have no ambition. If you want to fail, just have no ambition. Again, we know that the two guys with the two and the five, they had to be working hard. But the third guy with the one talent, how hard was he working? I mean, once he dug the ground, nothing. He did absolutely nothing. Never work. You can't succeed at anything without working hard. You want your ship to come in, you got to swim out to meet it. God expects us to try here. God wants us to work at it. We have to work at it. I mean, to have no ambition, I tell my kids all the time, you know, my kids have been blessed with little gray cells. They're bright kids, okay? All four of them. But I tell them all the time, I don't care how smart you are. If you don't work at it, you won't do as well as the kids that aren't half as smart as you that are working hard. Effort is everything. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of effort put forward here at Grace Church to make it be a successful church that it is. This is not done by accident. There's a ton of work done. There's a ton of work done by your pastoral staff, by your program staff, but by people, lay people. You wouldn't believe the work done by lay people around here. It's all because of a lot of people doing their share, being good stewards, having ambition. I don't want to be like that one talent guy. What an awful failure he was. I do not want to be like him. J. Paul Getty, you know what he said about success? He said, you've got to get up early, work late at night, and by all means, strike oil. That'll help. But if you don't strike oil, just work hard, and God will bless it. I mean, that's just the way it is. This is built into all of nature, isn't it? Proverbs 20, verse 4. Could we read that together? Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. So I don't care if you give $2 million. If we don't all work together and work hard, you may as well not give any. Because we've got to work hard with whatever we bring in around here. Because it takes effort to grow a church. And the more we grow, the more efforts it's going to take. But we'll have more people to do it. So we all got to do our part and be the best stewards that we could possibly be. I just don't want to fail. This is one of my problems with evangelicalism. And I love evangelicalism. Please hear that right. I consider myself an evangelical in the best sense of that word. That I believe that the Bible's true. I believe Jesus Christ died on a cross. I believe he's born of a Virgin Mary. I believe he's coming again. I believe I'm going to a real heaven that really exists. I believe all that, okay? Great evangelical points of view. But evangelicalism sometimes stops in some churches with this. I got my ticket to heaven. I'm in. Now I just got to wait for the bus. And I don't want us to stop there. I want us to believe all those things and keep working while we're waiting for the bus to get as many people on the bus as we possibly can, because that's what it's about. This is what job we were given. The third thing that this guy had wrong was just really wrong assumptions about his master. And this, you want to be a failure? Have wrong assumptions about who God is. You see, he made assumptions. And you know what they say about assume? I brought in a cleaned up version of that. you want to know something, ask me. Don't assume. That's how drama starts. When you start assuming things about God that just aren't true, bad things are going to happen, and you'll never succeed. And this is what the guy with the one talent found out. Because, friends, it's not what's in your pocket that makes you successful. It's what's in your heart. You've got to ask yourself, what's in my heart and in my pocket that explains what I feel about God? This guy said, you're a harsh master. Think about that. I mean, he puts himself in the judgment seat of the master. When we do that, we're really setting ourselves up for failure. You know, the master says, he calls him out on it. Did you catch what he said? He said, if you really thought I was so harsh, then surely you would have at least taken the money to a bank and got me some interest. It just wasn't true. When you make assumptions like that, bad things are going to happen. You know, the two good ones knew that God was generous. So they used what God had given them to bless and to grow, because that's what we're supposed to do with it. I don't know. If you don't have what the first two guys have and you have what the third guy had, then you're short of respect and love for God. When you know that God is a God that is good and a God that's generous, it's so much easier to give. It's so much easier to work for Him. It's just so much easier when you believe that about God. When you believe God is harsh, I believe God's good all the time. All the time. Come on, guys. You know this, Rig, right? God is good all the time. And that's our assumption around here. That's our basic assumption, that God is good. And if He's good, then we could be successful. So let's talk about how to succeed, because that's way more important than not succeeding, right? So let's talk about, first of all, you've got to trust that God provides all that we need to succeed. Success is good, right? I like success. I mean, gee, you know, if at first you don't succeed, so much for skydiving, right? I want to succeed at everything that I ever try. I want to be successful, especially at the most important thing in the whole wide world, the souls of men and women and boys and girls. I want to be extremely successful with that. And this is the mission that God has given us, the responsibility of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the transformation of the world, and to win disciples for the kingdom. There can't be anything more important than that. The first thing is, as I said, trust that God will provide all that we need to succeed. Let's read this together from Matthew 25, 15. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. Now, as I said, in the New Living Translation, there's a subnote right after the bag of silver, and it says 75 pounds. So take 5 times 75, that's how much silver that guy got. Take 2 times 75 pounds of silver, that's how much the second guy got. But 75 pounds of silver is no small amount of money, is it? That's what so much of feeling sorry for this guy, huh? I mean, the guy with one talent, do you know how much money this really was? We know for sure what a talent was in that day. It was 6,000 denarii. That explains it, right? You've heard of a denarius. You've been in a lot of churches. You've heard a lot of sermons. You know that a denarius was one day's wage, right? So a denarius is one day's wage. So you start doing the math here. Think about that. If a denarius is one day's wage, and we know that a talent is 6,000 denarii, that means that this is a ton of money. Let's just assume that it's $15 an hour, kind of an average day's pay, right? I mean, unless you're a minimum wage person, this is kind of the average if you go, you know, average it all out from the top to the bottom. About $15 an hour these days. So let's just say you work 5 days a week. Think about that. 6,000 days. You know, that's about 24 years. And that day when they didn't live very long, you know what this guy was given? A full lifetime salary. So whatever your salary is, this is beautiful how God works it out, because he works in principles. However much you make, whatever you make over your lifetime, that's what you're a steward of. That's what we're stewards of. Whatever we make. We all have that. That's what we get to manage. That's kind of cool, isn't it? This is what Jesus was talking about. He said, this is what you manage, a lifetime salary. It's a lot of money. I don't feel sorry for this guy at all. He had plenty to work with, because remember, he's a servant in the master's household. I mean, the master's going to take care of him, just like the master takes care of us, just like he takes care of the lily of the field and the birds of the air. He's taking care of us, plus he gives us a whole lifetime income to manage. It's a pretty cool deal we have going here, isn't it? I mean, this servant lived in the master's house. All of his needs were cared for. He wasn't coming up short on anything. There was plenty to work with. There's always plenty to work with when we trust God. You know, God has big plans. We were created for good works, says Ephesians 2:10. We were created for great things. And I believe that. You know, the parable of the talents, man, what a pile of money. There it is for you. I mean, it's 16 years if you work every single day. It's a pile of money any way you slice it. Secondly, accept that while we are not all equal, we are treated fairly. Did you note? This is something that's often overlooked. Dividing it to proportion of their abilities. Everyone's not given the same amount. Did you ever notice that? Oh, you're so naive, you didn't notice this, right? Everyone gets different amounts. Did you notice that? You okay with that? Does it hurt you if someone else gets blessed more than you? Doesn't hurt me if someone else gets more blessed. I'm okay with that. It's very cool, actually. I'm happy for people that get blessed. As long as they're good stewards with it, I don't care. It's wonderful. I think it's awesome if people are blessed. Don't you think that's awesome? You know, if I get everything I need and other people have more than they need and to invest and to manage, that's cool stuff. I'm glad God's like this. It's built into all the diversity of all this beautiful creation. There's diversity everywhere. But I want you to be mindful again that these guys lived in the master's household. They were servants. They were slaves. They were managers. And this was a very common thing in those days, that the slaves would be put in charge when the master went away, very much like the slaves do for the celebrities today, right? They're managers. And they're housekeepers, and all the things that they do. Friends, these guys were all given plenty, but in the household, they were given different things to manage. And this is why tithing is proportional. Because God understands that some of us are rich and some of us aren't. Some of us are middle income, some are upper middle income, some are lower middle income. And that's why it's done proportionally. And you'll remember how Jesus said the widow with her two little coins was given more than some of those that were pompous and blowing horns and saying, look how much I've given. It's proportional. And I've got to tell you, it is just as hard to give a dollar out of 10 as it is to give 10 out of 100, as it is to give 100 out of 1,000, as it is to give 1,000 out of 10,000. It's just as hard. That's why it's proportional. Because God does this right. It's done by proportion. I want you to think about this. If that guy, the five-talent guy, does everything right, and he brings all that back, and he brings 10 talents back into the household, and the five-talent guy brings all that back into the household, I mean the two-talent guy, I'm sorry, and the one-talent guy just brings his one talent back, that whole household's better off because of those two servants, right? And that's true about our church. There are some people here that are very wealthy and able to really give. Praise God. There are some that are medium income and able to give medium. Praise God. There are some of very low income and able to give a little bit. Praise God. Because it makes the whole church do better. And it makes Indiana a better place to live because we have a healthy church. God's so smart in the way that he does it. It's all in proportion. It's not that he loves anybody any more or any less. He wants to bless everybody. And when everybody does better, everybody does better. We got to also understand that success is not about God, and this is probably the most important point of the entire message. This isn't mine. It's not yours. We're just a generation in charge right now. I'm a steward. If you say what you have is yours, come back in 100 years and tell me about it. Right? I'm just a manager. The minute I tip over, it's somebody else's. It's not mine. I'm just managing it. What you have isn't yours. I hate to tell you. I know you think it is. But it's not. You know what God said about your stuff? Psalm 50, verse 12. Let's read it together. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and everything in it. I want to tell you a true story, and I'm not going to identify which son this is about because I don't want to talk dirt on my son in front of all of you. But one of my sons, when he was little, we went to McDonald's. I didn't want to eat a bunch of French fries that day. I was on one of those days. I was doing a health kick, you know. I don't want a whole package of fries. So I got myself a hamburger, and I bought him the chicken wings and the fries and the drink and the whole thing, you know. And we sat down, and we started eating. And I ate my hamburger, and he's just a little guy, and he just couldn't get all his fries down. I could see he wasn't going to finish it, so I just reached over and took a fry. He says, "Dad, get your own fries." And I thought, really? Do you know that I could go and buy 10,000 packages of fries? Do you know that I bought your fries? Do you know I bought your chicken fingers? Do you know that I bought your clothes, the car you grew up here in, the house that you live in? Do you know that I bought everything that you have? And I don't need your fries. Do you get that? That's what I thought. I may have even said some of that. Like, are you kidding me here? Where's the love? Where's the gratitude? Everything I have, I've shared with them, right? I just wanted one fry. Just one fry. Is that so much to ask? I mean, I know I'm sounding like I'm having a pity party on me here, but, you know, we just did financial peace. And one of the things that he said during that series, you know, in the tithing part, he said, you know, God doesn't need our money. And he starts laughing. He said, God doesn't need our money. God needs our money. He said, God doesn't need our money. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. You know, if he wants your money, he'll take it and leave a grease spot where you sat. And that's true. He could. But he says, hey, give me a fry. Give me 1 out of 10. I'm not asking the moon here. It's mine anyways. Just live your life in a way that you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You're just a manager, friends. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein, says the psalmist. Friends, I want to be a real blessing. I want to be a steward. I know so many of you have that same heart. And I thank God for every one of you. If you haven't figured this out yet, how wonderful it is to live that way and to understand that it's a blessing to be able to take your part in the kingdom of God, to understand that you don't have to live your life with any regrets, and you don't have to look forward to the future with any fear, to just know I'm just doing things right, and one day I will hear from the Master of Masters, the King of Kings. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the kind of servant I want to be. That's the kind of response I want everybody in this congregation to hear at the end of their life. I pray that that will happen for you, because it's just stewardship anyways. That's all it is. If you're trying to gather up the biggest pile, you're going to get it all, and it's going to look like you won, and then your soul will be called upon. And you'll be like the guy, the rich guy, that kept building barns and more barns and more barns, and then he died. And do you remember what the angel of the Lord said? Full. He didn't understand he was a steward. He missed that point. Let's not miss that point today. At this time, we're going to move toward the offertory. I do want to pray for you and just help us to prepare our hearts for this type of thing. Dear Lord God, we are moving toward an application of the sermon, and it's a tough sermon for all of us to hear. It seems like meddling when a pastor talks about money, and yet, Lord, we know that it's yours. We ask that you would help us, Lord. Guide us to make the best decisions, that we would be good stewards of our homes and good stewards of the resources that you've given us, that we might use our entire life's income to your glory and to care for our family and those around us. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless us, and that you would use us to great glory. We pray for great imagination for the finance and the council and the missions team and the evangelism team and the staff and the prayer team and all the teams that are just trying to spread the gospel. We ask, God, your blessing on all our musicians to make these worship services such a wonderful thing to take in. We thank you for their work and their effort, for the money they've spent on their instruments. We thank you for their stewardship. We thank you, Lord, for the stewardship of our predecessors that put this incredible building here in this place, who sent missionaries and pastors out into the world. And now, Lord, it's our turn to be the stewards. We thank you for all the great stewards who have already heard the words, well done, good and faithful servants. And today, Lord, we just commit our ways to you and ask God your blessing on it. We will also, Lord, pray that you would be with those who simply just cannot because of financial changes during the year, and it's just so hard this year to give the way they did last year. And if they have any sense of guilt about that, Lord, I just pray that you would help them to know that they're loved, that you understand their situation changed, and that you're good with it. We pray for the widow who has just two denarii, two little coins. Oh, God, bless her. We pray, Lord, for those who you have given incredible amounts to be stewards over. Oh, Lord God, use them mightily. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us for so many ways, so many times. And so, Lord, right now, we would ask that you would use what we're doing to your glory. We also pray for those in care homes who have no income and it's just all eaten up, just caring for them. We know that's important ministry, too. For we know that one time Jesus said, this is our first responsibility to care for our families. So Lord, for those who have that very high demand on their resources right now, we just pray your blessing on them, and that you would provide for that, those types of families. And finally, Lord, we would just pray that you'd be with those who are going through medical costs right now and their minds are just exploding with the costs. Help them to know that they are loved. help them to know that they're being held in the palm of your hand and that you're going to care for them, that you're going to watch over them and help them through this crisis. Now, Lord, we pray for our church as a whole, praying that indeed, Lord, we would be faithful, that we would be good stewards, that we would be wise, and that we would use our resources exactly the way you want them to be used. So God, be with us. Be with each family here. Bless each of their little kingdoms, Lord, as they bring some of their kingdom to your kingdom. We ask this in Christ's holy and matchless name. Amen. At this time, we are going to have an offering. As you can see, the offering plates are sitting on the table. We do Stewardship Sunday a little bit differently. We think it's healthy for a family to take their kids with them and just the couple to agree to come and put their pledge cards in. What we have is the offering plates are sitting here and the box over here for your pledge cards. And we would just ask that you would come forward. Everyone's going to have to come down the center aisle, which means you poor people over in this wing are going to have to walk the whole way around the church to get to the center aisle and the whole way back around. We thank you for your patience with us today. But we ask everyone to come down the center aisle, and then everyone will move that direction and back around to your church, to your pews, as the orchestra leads us in the offertory. We invite you to come at this time to bring your offering or your pledge.